We go ahead and call the meeting to order. Welcome to the Parking Advisory Committee meeting. We'll go ahead and start with roll call. Derek, can you kick us off?
Sure, Derek Tokos, I'm the city's community development director.
Bill Brannigan.
Aaron Bretz, I'm the, from the Port of Newport, vice chairman of the committee.
Doris Posner, new to the group, representing Night Beach.
Jocelyn Studi, new also, also representing Night Beach.
Kevin Lewis, Night Beach business owner.
Cora Loper, parking enforcement officer.
Lisa Eamon, I'm from Night Beach.
Robert Nader.
Robert, did you say something? He said.
Yeah, I was just saying who I was.
Hey, Robert, we still have that reverb on your end. I'm not sure what's up.
Are you close to Lisa? Yeah. Maybe they're...
Gary's on?
He just joined us on.
And we got Doretta. I think Robert kind of covered you there, but.
Oh, sorry. Doretta Smith, the city center.
Gary, doing roll call. You're up. You're muted.
I hear me now?
Yep, can hear you.
Okay, Gary Ripka, fisherman.
Okay, so on to the approval of minutes. They're in the meeting packet. Does anybody have a motion to approve the minutes?
Make a motion to approve the minutes. The videos don't lie.
Moved by Bill, is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Kevin. All those in favor, respond by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Motion passes. The next item on the agenda is the March 19, 2025 Parking Advisory, Draft Parking Advisory Committee meeting minutes. And then we've got discussion items. Yeah. 12-month update on parking turnover and revenues for the Bayfront, Derek.
Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and do a shared screen on this so folks can see what I'm referring to. Computer to cooperate. Here we go. Okay, so I included in the memo the revenue and the turnover rate information we have for the first 12 months on the Bayfront. So the parking program went into effect May 1st of 24. May through October, it runs 7 days a week from 11 to 7. Then you shift into November to April, it runs just on the weekends during that time frame. The electronic permits or e-permits for the most popular parking lots, like the Abbey Street lot owned by Rogue, those drop significantly for the off season. So they're at $15 a month as opposed to $45 a month during the May to October window. So that's why you see the number of transactions for the off season are considerably smaller. And those transactions would be the numbers you're looking at. That's just people are doing the paid parking, the dollar an hour parking. So your transactions from May to October were over 110,000 on the Bayfront, but November to April, just a little over 20,000.
Derek?
Yes.
I apologize for interrupting, but I did not get this memo. Was there any chance Sherry could send it out?
Sure. You got the agenda, right?
Yeah, but the memorandum's not in there.
It is. I just brought it. I just loaded it up from the agenda.
It's under
Oh, let me.
Yeah, it's at the top part of the, it's under item 1.1, the memorandum.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I apologize. I did not see that. Thank you.
Yep, no worries.
How did the total revenue match up with what we had forecasted?
The forecast for total revenue is about $440,000, I believe, is we're at about $419,000 gross. That's not too far off.
Yeah, it really isn't.
Now, you know, we have to back out the cost because all of the, you know, you do have the, we elected to not pass on the administrative costs for doing transactions, credit card fees, that kind of stuff. That all, in total, when you across all platforms, is in around $50,000. It's not small.
Is that already showing in the total revenue, or you haven't shown?
No,
that
this
yet?
Is just gross. That's why I made it clear.
Just,
this is gross
okay.
annual. We didn't back out all of the fees.
But you think it's about $50,000?
In that range, yeah. There are also some additional minor items that aren't included. This is just revenue from the Bayfront. There is a business license surcharge that Nye Beach pays that's about a little over $8,000 that goes into the parking fund, and similar business license surcharge for City Center is about $3,500. So you got about $11,000 additional that come from the other two areas right now. The length of stay that you see here on the right, the average length of stay, 2 hours, 38 minutes, that came from the parking study that was performed in the 2016 to 2018 timeframe. And the 2016, I believe, is when they actually did the observations. We don't have the ability to, we don't have data on observed turnover, but what we're using as a proxy is what's your average transaction at the meter to give you a sense of what that is. And it looks like, we're getting better turnover on a per stall basis, about 11 minutes better on a per stall basis.
On the parking tickets, do we know that's what we collected, what didn't we collect? It's like $20,000 that people didn't pay, and we ended up giving to collections.
I did the 6 month, and it showed what we were at. I'd have to rerun that. I haven't done that, Bill,
okay. So
I'll have to put that together.
Hey, Garrett.
Yeah, Garrett.
On the tickets, didn't there for a period of time we didn't have an enforcement officer, so that therefore we weren't writing as many tickets?
Correct. This is the total. Actually, there are a couple things in play, Gary. You're right. We didn't have enforcement for a period of time. However, enforcement of the time limits started in January of 24. So we got some of that ticket revenue that was picked up in that report, I believe. And it certainly picks up tickets issued in Nye Beach and City Center in addition to Bayfront. So that number's not exclusive to the Bayfront.
And since we're on parking tickets, since I'm new, is it a standard ticket fee? I haven't gotten a parking ticket here. Like, are all the tickets the same price, $20?
No.
Okay.
No, they're on a, they vary depending upon the nature of the violation.
Okay, so it's a violation based.
Right. So if you're parking in front of a hydrant, your ticket's going to be higher than if it's overstay of a meter.
I'm assuming.
Is there any way to really figure out what we missed, potential revenue during that time, or is that kind of a pretty unknown?
Well, what I could pull together, Gary, is kind of what the average parking ticket revenue was while we had enforcement on a per month basis, and try to extrapolate it out. You can probably assume the level of activity during the peak season we comparable. Level of activity during the off-peak as well, kind of break them out that way.
What days are enforcement? Because you obviously don't work 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm. It's currently right now it's Tuesday through Saturday.
Okay.
And see, that's different too, because with the prior enforcement, he varied his days off. So nobody knew when.
Okay, so this is a regular schedule now.
Right, Corn's working a regular schedule.
Oh, good.
So that was an adjustment on their end. And they may adjust. I know the Chief Malloy is thinking about adjusting to cover the days where Corn's not available.
Oh, good. Okay. Thank you.
So they're working on that. So, you know, yeah, well, we're not too far off of expectations, Bill, in terms of total revenue. We were reasonably close with the estimate.
5%.
So
that's pretty good.
So that's, I think, all I really had with respect to the 12-month update.
Yeah.
I have a question.
Yeah,
I'm looking here. The average person paid $2.27 to park.
That's how it averaged out, yeah.
That's not very much.
Well, 2 hours.
Well, the average length was 2 hours and 38 minutes, so financially it balances.
Well, remember, you got a 4-hour max stay during the regulated period.
Right. No, I'm just thinking out loud that it's not a huge financial burden, it looks like to me.
No. Oh, no.
And I was just going to say, I always bring this up whenever, because we've been talking here for several minutes about the annual report, and it's been basically about revenue. But this is never, since I was on the previous committee at the very beginning, I've been in this thing for 5 years now, I think. But the goals of the committee has never been, this is not a big money grab on the city's part. This is an effort to try and manage the demand for parking in this area. And so it's been effective at doing, like, for example, we didn't have a parking enforcement officer previously for the entire city. And so it's funding a parking enforcement officer from whom the entire city's benefits. And it's funding the installation of the equipment. It's funding the operation of the equipment.
Improvements.
And we can talk about where we want to go in the future with, you know, lighting and walking improvements. Those are some real tangible benefits of the program, I think. And everybody, you know, I think sometimes people hear us talking about what the dollars and cents are. But one of the statistics that's not in here that's important to me anyway is you've got your number of transactions. So 131,700 transactions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be helpful, I suppose, you know, we do have in our meeting packet, we've got an email from an individual who is not happy with the operation of the system, says it's they make some pretty serious statements about how poorly it operates and how confusing it is for individuals. Do we know how many other complaints? We've got a complaint in the packet. We've got 131,000, roughly 700 transactions. So out of all those transactions, do you know about how many complaints we've received from people who are using the system?
From that filter their way to us, it's a very, very small number. I mean, and when I say that is when we initially launched, for the first couple of weeks, there was a transition period where we did get, you know, a number of inquiries, questions, concerns, complaints, if you want to say it. But that tapered down after the first 2 weeks, you know, and a number was not unmanageable. So say maybe a half a dozen a week or something of that nature. And it tapered down to throughout the summer season, you want to call it May to October, you know, some weeks we didn't have any complaints, others maybe a couple, you know. So now that's not what, you know, that's what gets to us, not necessarily what that retailer was experiencing.
Right, yeah.
So they're not quite the same thing. And we are sensitive trying to make sure that we get the best information we can out there on how to operate, you know, what your options are for paying for parking. You know, we have, for the benefit of everybody here, we have some new members, you know. But Aaron, you recall, we went through a competitive solicitation process. We had a number of proposals that came in with different types of parking solutions. And some more robust than what we implemented, some less robust, some that weren't really tailored for municipal, they were more tailored to managing private business parking. We ended up going with T2 Solutions, and T2 Solutions provides us support in a number of arenas. They provide, when we're talking about these different things, you know, you're talking about pay stations, which accept you know, your credit cards, but also accept coin. And they're solar operated, and we have 10 of them deployed down there. That has its own set of programming that we manage through the police department. The police manage the pay stations because our code enforcement officer is the one who has to do collections and is down there to address periodic errors that pop up, or if somebody jammed a coin in one or gum got into one, or whatever the situation is, Corn's available to address that. We also have e-permitting, electronic permitting, which is what our year-round users utilize. But it's also, we also have day permits through there for commercial fishing, for example. We have them for commercial fishing, and we also have them for rec fishing. So the e-permitting platform is all cloud-based, so it's all online. And our staff, Sherry, myself, and others in our department are the ones that assist the public with that if issues come up. The parking tickets is also something that's handled through the cloud. You can make your payment electronically. And then we also have the license plate recognition technology that our code enforcement staff works, Corn, uses. It's got a handheld that syncs with permit information, so you can identify a plate and know if a permit, you know, if they have a permit or they paid parking or whatever. And we also have that mounted with cameras on a vehicle in the police department. And so the LPR is handled by one firm that subs through T2. T2 handles the e-permitting directly and the pay station stuff as well. And then we have the merchant accounts with the banks to handle the transactions. That runs through a couple of different vendors. So that's kind of the package we have that, you know, in its totality is enforcement. And we have a contract with T2 for a 5-year period. And so on our ongoing maintenance, initial implementation on the Bayfront was about $175,000, $180,000. And then we have a $30,000 annual maintenance agreement with them to cover the software updates that all of the equipment have to have, the technical support if we have problems with the equipment, that kind of thing.
I meant to say also, I certainly don't want to, this is the way my head thinks about these, this is the way I think about these things, is when I see I hear about a group of complaints, I'm always trying to understand, okay, how is that, is it indicative of a major systemic problem that we've got? Or is this a person who's not happy with it for some very good reasons of their own? I don't want to reduce anybody's input or anything like that. I'm always seeking to understand how wide is that that we're looking at. And it's been my recollection, you know. And like you said, maybe it isn't getting all the way up to the city level or something. I don't know. But it's been my recollection, having sat through lots of these meetings, that the number of complaints that we're getting from people who are actually using the system, like they're able to navigate it. It seems that they've been able to navigate it. We've got a lot of transactions that have come through successfully. But there are definite improvements is my take on it, and that's just the way that I look at it from that angle. That's just the way I think about it.
I think if you look at, and I've traveled 100,000 miles a year, that really our system we have is very easy to use, because you go to places, San Francisco, Seattle, you can't use coins as well as others. So I really think the system that we've developed here is so easy to use. And most people coming from a large town are used to having to pay to park. So I wouldn't think we would have huge amounts of complaints from people coming from out of town, unless they came from a rural area. But this, you know, parking, paid parking is happening everywhere because cities need to recoup to help pay for improvements and to do things. I think it's becoming very commonplace now.
Yeah.
Mick, can you comment?
Yeah, go, Gary.
Sorry, from the Zoom thing, it's a little bit harder to participate. Sorry about that. Couple things I'd take away from this. The revenue generating for that we're getting the turnover we wanted. And we are generating maintenance. We're generating capital to maintain our infrastructure, which we were not doing before. And I look at this as a taxpayer that we're taxing the users instead of the people that live here. And I look at that as a good thing. Back to, I just got to, I attended a Pacific Fishery Management Council meeting in Vancouver, Washington, and had paid parking on the street. Lot harder to navigate. Very frustrated. Can't pay with coins. And it was very frustrating. There was a lot of things there. But our system's way easier than that one from what I saw there. So that was my other, I had a chance to compare our system to somebody else's. And ours is way easier. I'll just put it that way. So that's where I see. I mean, yeah, we have, you look at some of these complaints and merchants are down 10%, but I've talked to a lot of merchants that aren't even on the Bayfront that are upriver and other places that have no paid parking and they're down 10 to 20% and they have no paid parking. I think the blame on paid parking is not correct. I think it's more on people not having as much money in their pocket to go spend. Like I said, I know an establishment that they were down 20% on a campground last year. And they had no paid parking. So I'll leave it at that.
That was one question that I had for you. Is it, have we had, because we have had a few people that present that there's a correlation between the installation of paid parking and a drop in business. So they've got, they're presenting that there's a correlation there, but that's not causation. Has anybody presented evidence that would show that is the cause? Has anybody shown, been able to demonstrate that?
Nobody's done that kind of study at this point in terms of doing like a broader survey of the city.
Right.
You know, and to see exactly where different businesses landed over the last year. I'm not aware of any of that analysis being done.
That'd be great to hear.
But to Gary's point, we have heard from a number of businesses that aren't on the Bayfront that, you know, their business was down because inflation was up. I mean, that was a reality. It still is a reality.
Even I've also heard, I talked to tons of business owners on the Bayfront, and I've heard multiple people say that they aren't even down on revenue as well.
No, I remember Janelle had mentioned that Clearwater actually had a better year. But then the barge didn't. But the barge's issue had more to do with the lack of fish processing that was happening. So that was another variable that, you know, we'll be dealing with.
Is there a way for an individual to get some kind of a parking thing for a year, like so that you don't have to do the meters every time? I know there's a dinner group in my neighborhood, and they just decided as a group they're no longer going to the Bayfront because there's now paid parking down there. They just pretty much did that out of hand, and I don't know if that's resistance to change or what it is, but anyway, they just aren't doing it. But I was curious if there is a way for an individual, just a person who lives here in Newport, to do some kind of parking thing so that you can go stop at the fish market or just go up here and have a little coffee or something and not deal with the, like a yearly and annual pass or anything like that.
We have the ability, but the short answer is not currently, no. Uh-huh. We didn't set it up that way. We do have a significant number of different types of permits, and we can add more. We could create a 7-day pass, for example, where you pay for a 7-day pass and you have a coupon code for it, and you know you can just plug that in, or you know a permit that's valid up to X number of usages. I mean, there are different ways the system will allow us to do that.
It'd just be nice for the locals to be able to, you know, do some kind of annual thing or something. So, or like you said, that buy a big ticket that gets.
I think people in Newport have forgotten to, how to walk.
Well, I'm always curious about, like, what was the discussion? What is the driver of it? Like, what is it? You can assume what it is. They don't like to pay to park, right? Is that what it is?
It's the irritation of every time I need to go anywhere in town, now I'm having to deal with all of this
having
stuff.
Having to deal with something. So it's the, they're maybe intimidated by what they're going to have to do, or are they just not happy about having to, you know, like, I gotta push some buttons and do some things?
I think it's more that it's change, feeling like you can't just navigate around your town and make the stops you need to make here and there. And like, I'm going to go pick up coffee here, grab some fish for the thing I'm going to tonight. Or everybody's going to meet for dinner and now they all have to figure out, you know,
parking logistics. So they can't just pull into a spot or whatever. That's what I was thinking. Because they can.
Honestly, we don't. Most locals don't go on the Bayfront during the summer.
Right. Well, and I'm thinking overall for future, you know, I'm more a Nye Beach person, but I work on the Bayfront, so I get that end of it from the side of being a host at a museum.
One thing that, you know, go ahead,
Gary. I have a question on our dinner group. You know, after 7 o'clock, it's free parking.
And do they know
that? Well, you know these senior dinner groups, they go out at 4.
Or do they know that there's like, for a whole swath of the year, there's days that you don't have to pay or...
Yes, and you know, I've talked kind of, I'm not part of the dinner group, you know, so I've just kind of asked the person who's, was, you know, talking to me about it, and...
I genuinely am curious, because that way we can maybe do something about it, you know, we can address it somehow, or we can get, you know... Because sometimes people just don't realize that, you know, I show up on a Tuesday evening in February, you're not going to have to pay. You don't have to pay anything. But I don't know what, you know, anyway.
For me, too, it's, you know, I go down there off and on throughout the year. What I've done is, I mean, with the mobile pay, it saves your license plate number. I already have my payment information in here. All I have to do is do it a little quick text and put however many hours I want to be there, and it's done. It's really, really quick.
But we're dealing with probably
seniors. So I don't know that an e-government would be any more efficient in that regard. You know, it's probably, and for the person who doesn't want to do the mobile pay, the e-permit may not, you know.
I mean, I picture just paying an annual fee and having a sticker on my car. Done.
Yeah, no stickers.
That kind of thing. You know what I mean? But just something simple that everybody can understand, you know, that kind of... Because that's mostly what I hear. It's, or people coming in the museum going like, can you help us figure out how to do this parking thing? And there's something where we had to hold our phone up in the air. And, you know, it was really helpful watching your...
People just don't like change.
Well, I think that's a lot of it, so...
I think, and we also get... We've got a lot of folks that are not happy with it, and so they speak about it in a really bad manner, and they sell it as it's the worst possible way. And in some cases, it's some of the things just aren't true. And I don't know that people understand. They don't line it up, or it's like these are folks that are supportive of local businesses, and so if you're not going down there, you're hurting local businesses. And in reality, you may not even have to. You might not be avoiding a fee at all, because if your practice is to go out every Thursday evening, and it's in the wintertime, you're not going to get a fee. Or if you go down there a certain time, you're not going to get a fee. And so the idea that you're not going to go down there at all is I don't understand. I have a hard time wrapping my head around the motive behind it.
That's definitely a big reaction.
Yeah,
is what that is.
You know? Do you get complaints down? We made some changes down on the port.
We get complaints. That's why I'm so focused on I get complaints constantly. But that's the thing, is you get complaints constantly.
Right.
It doesn't always mean that you got this widespread systemic problem.
Right.
You got to listen to what the complaint is and figure out if you can address that particular thing and get it fixed, Or sometimes you just get, you know, a few of the same, you know, it's hard to, anyway, that's why I get so focused on what is the nature of the complaint, who's making the complaint, why are they making the complaint, and what's driving them, and to understand it, I think, is important.
So have the complaints gone up since we've made changes? I mean, I can't imagine the fishermen would complain about anything.
No, yeah, I get more complaints about it. Honestly, if it's complaints about parking in general, I have not seen a change in the number of complaints.
Oh, no.
It's the nature of complaints. People aren't happy about paying for parking, but I don't know. I get such a wide, because it's lack of. I get complaints about lack of enforcement. I get complaints about not understanding where they're supposed to park, or people parking in the place that I'm supposed to be and they're not supposed to be, and I'm mad about that. And what are you doing? You know, about enforcement and things like that. And so it's been. Parking's always been a massive, you know, I hear a lot of complaints about it in general. It's just different now because people aren't happy about having to pay. And they're confused about where they should, you know, which, do they pay the port fee? Do they pay the city fee? And where's the line and all that stuff, so.
Are the complaints you're hearing from locals or for people coming to use the port?
Most of what I hear is locals, but see, I get a lot of port complaints. I get the port. I don't get as many of the city side.
And on the city side, I would say it's probably majority locals compared to visitors.
We didn't like to take our shoes off going through GSA either. So
we all. I think we need to do a better job of, and I don't know how to do this. Of telling people when there is free parking. I have a friend of mine that says, well, I don't go, me and my wife, we don't go down to Bayfront anymore because of the parking. I said, if you go down there after 7 o'clock, you don't have to pay. And during the wintertime, you don't have to pay during the week. Oh, well, I didn't know that. See, somehow I don't know how to do this. I don't know what the answer is to this question, but We need to be able to tell people that better, somehow, in a better way.
Well, almost every local gets a utility bill. Is there a way to put some kind of a thing with the water bill or what, you know, whoever gets those? Because I read anything that comes with those, and the city has the ability to process that. Maybe that would be a good way.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what the expense is, but... I hear you. I don't remember seeing a lot either. You know, a little thing in the paper and Facebook, but Facebook is another place too.
Sure.
Because people do use.
No, we can and do need to continue to push out information on the trail on parking.
If we can get out free parking during these time periods, you know, more frequently, we're still going to get a lot of comments on that where it's like it all used to be free. But that's understandable. But at least it'll get through to the people who are genuinely just looking to avoid the fee, that yeah, you can come down and there's still time periods that you don't pay anything, and you're welcome to come on down and all the time, but especially those times if you'd rather do it.
And a good time to support our businesses.
Yes, yeah.
And that really was a great film, and I think I saw it through Via Next Door, somebody had posted it, the one with you down showing, and I said, oh my gosh, there's still coins, because I have free parking where I work, so I just hear everybody talking about how hard it is, and you can only do a QR code, or you can only do that, and there's actually a whole lot of choice, it sounds like.
A star is born.
And the other type of business that I'm most interested in is, because there's all kinds of different businesses down there, you know, a business like Janelle's that's more prominent, that's kind of a destination, she's probably going to benefit a lot by having more parking available. But what we could potentially see where there'd be, it might be an impact, would be the businesses that benefit from people just tooling around, and they drop in real quick and grab something, like, you know, so maybe the candy shops or whatever. I'd be curious to hear, you know. But again, for me personally, I would like to not just hear a correlation, but is there evidence that this is the one thing that changed that impacted the business, whereas everything else that changed around it did not. I, you know, that's what I would like to hear, or not, whatever.
It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know that.
A data point like that doesn't exist.
Exists.
But that's what you would need, though, I think, or you'd have to get close to that.
You'd have to pour over their books of every business down there.
Yeah, I'm just saying that if I'm gonna present the case that it's the parking meters that caused this downturn, that's the angle you'd need to take.
Would, but.
And if, you know, and I don't, but I don't know what that would look like.
I think what you really end up doing is looking at a higher level of okay, how have things worked annually for businesses in the areas where you have the parking versus not over a period of a few years. And is there a difference between the two and why?
Yeah.
I don't even know you'd show that because the customer base that comes into town,
yeah.
They might be, oh, we're here for a wedding and we're into bars and then the other group. So
mm-hmm.
It wouldn't really reflect it. And the person who wrote the complaint, which I understand, I appreciate that, it's only something her boss told her. So what else, you know, her boss, first of all, sharing that, but based on what? You can't just say parking.
I did read something a few months ago. It was a nationwide study, and it did say in that first 6 to 9 months when paid parking is introduced in the city centers and things like that, and I don't know, it kind of had the stats, but it was not hard stats to download, but there was a correlation of a drop in business. But the key was, as long as the enforcement was done correctly and the information was out, that it rose back up to normal levels, usually within a year.
Yeah,
and that was the thing. Was basically saying, if you're going to introduce it, make sure you, like we're doing here, like fix the problems.
Right.
And life goes on.
If I could add something to that, that was something I was hoping to bring up, was the majority of people that I come across, they have absolutely no problem with paying to park. Like all, I talk to hundreds and hundreds of people a day, and the majority of them do not have a problem with paying to park. Their problem is when they come back to their car and they find a ticket, and the biggest complaint I get is that there's no signage. The signage is the biggest thing that I constantly hear about. And
you mean they don't know that it costs something?
They don't know that it's pay to park. And I've even noticed just walking around down there that there's all, you know, I'll address a certain vehicle and I'll look around and I'd be like, you know, how would they have known? There's no signs. And so I think that is something that could definitely be focused on.
And so that's something, that's another problem that like we deal with a lot at the port is signage. Cause usually that's the thing, you write, you get a ticket, the appeal comes through and they're like, there weren't any signs. And of course, being on the side where we're the ones that put the signs up, I know how many signs there are, you know, I'm like, no, there's a sign right there. But the question, that's why I have always brought up.
We've installed several hundred signs down there.
Right, so there's a lot of signs.
Not a small number, but there are some areas that have less than others. And it's generally the area where we don't have the decorative lights that we can utilize for some of those additional sign mounts.
Right.
So we've got pretty good coverage on the west end where we've got the brown, older Palfane decorative lights that the city maintains. Along the poles, that's not an issue in that area. We've got tons of signage. When we move into the area where we just have the PUD wooden poles, utility poles, we can't put signs on those. That's a little bit more constrained. Public Works is rolling out some additional signs in that area. We have some retail businesses with awnings that limit our ability to get signposts up, you know, along the sidewalks without hitting their buildings. We have to be sensitive to making sure the signs are at least 7 feet up typically so that somebody walking along doesn't inadvertently hit the edge of one of those aluminum signs and cut themselves. So I know we've had some complaints from folks, well, it's up there, it's harder for me to get my camera up or read it. We're balancing a lot of different things. We don't have 12-foot wide sidewalks down there. And so, you know, we can't put, there are some areas, especially as you head over where you have some of the commercial fishing parking, we don't have a place to put it. And we're putting one up by Local Ocean, a couple over, I think one over by the Alpaca Shop, and maybe in Oregon. Try to help in that area where we don't have as many as we like. But as you know, Aaron, over when you get to the commercial fishing parking, I mean, that's open season, just getting in and out. There's not even defined drive aisles over there.
Yeah, you're talking about.
We have no place to put a sign. We have one there that Public Works has had to repair, you know, on multiple occasions because vehicles are running into it.
You're talking about the two lots, right?
Right, yeah.
I got you.
It's just fully open and exposed, and just, you know, so you're juggling some of that stuff. So, but that is a point of emphasis we have. The other thing is we've got a good tracking spreadsheet now in place. It just kind of moved into the second agenda item, which is transition from weekend only to 7 days a week. The city engineer, myself, and our street supervisor walked that in mid-April before we did the May 1st, you know, transition to 7 days a week, and flagged a number of spots where additional signage is needed, and now we're tracking it in the spreadsheet. Several of these locations had been flagged for signage before, but it wasn't getting documented to make sure it happened. And this is not placing fault. I mean, our public works folks come down and do some of that work, then they got to go and do other things, and then that just gets lost in the shuffle. Now they've got a pretty good tracking spreadsheet, which is kind of picking it off one by one. So that's going to help, I think, on that front. Our transition with the mobile pay went smoothly. That's the QR code or text to park. Our transition with pay stations, not so much. We had about 10 days there after May, the first 10 days of May, where we were fighting some software issues that were confusing folks, where you could pay, but it was saying you only had to pay on the weekends. And so that took a while for us to get sorted out with T2 systems. And we have had some issues with modems from time to time. Corn, I'm not sure if you have anything active down there right now or not, or
right,
all the pay stations okay?
Everything is running as it should right now.
One thing to keep in mind with pay stations, you will always have issues from time to time. it's equipment that's going to have issues. Sometimes it's a hiccup on a software update, and then all of a sudden you start to get a few credit card fails because that software update applied to a particular type of credit card someone was trying to use. And then, you know, because of the update, transaction doesn't go through. You know, and then you also have, you know, what people do down there. You know, we've had a number of signs we had to replace that were vandalized. You know, they'll jam things into the coin receptors, that kind of thing. And that's just part of a parking program where you have to go and deal with that stuff. Whole program, though, has on the Bayfront been pretty effective at changing parking behavior from those that work down there on a regular basis. That's probably where a fair amount of the frustration with the program comes from. People who work down there that used to like to park really close to where they worked, you know, right in some of the prime spaces, now they got to park a little bit further away. They don't.
So is that part of this whole thing has to do not with just generating revenue, but it's about keeping flow and and just helping us manage the increasing load every summer? Okay.
That's the bulk of it. That's why that's
a big chunk of it. We had better
paying to keep, okay.
Yeah.
The congestion on the Bayfront was better with the program once it was launched than it was when it was the Wild West. And we were dealing with a lot of significant problems when we had no management. The congestion would get so bad we'd get complaints that, you know, I was a visitor community, I wanted to go to the Bayfront, but you know, I had to go three times around in a circle, still couldn't find parking, said, forget it, I'm out of here.
Well, I learned very quickly when I moved here, went not to go to the Bayfront.
So, and we had a bunch of inappropriate parking, illegal parking, because people were trying to cram their vehicles in spots that weren't, you know, they weren't supposed to be parking. And we also, you know, have a number of spaces on the Bayfront that aren't sized for larger vehicles. So you got travel lanes that get obstructed. You know, Corn deals with that on a regular basis for oversized vehicles. You know, so we needed some effective parking enforcement to improve safety down there, get better flow. But also to generate funds for maintenance, you know, and to pay for the parking enforcement program proper. I mean, we surfaced three parking lots down there before we launched the program. We're paying that over. That's a debt that we've got to pay off over a few years. But we were able to budget a couple hundred thousand for some targeted work on the bayfront this summer, where we're going to be going after pulling out abandoned driveways and fixing damaged sections of sidewalk that are trip hazards. We have a number of driveway approaches down on the bayfront that no longer serve a purpose.
Yeah, they're just
there. They were installed, you know, at a time when that was, you know, that was a driveway or loading bay. But subsequent redevelopment of the property now, it's a faces a retaining wall or you know, the wall of the building. People don't expect to have a driveway approach there that's at an angle. If they're not paying attention, you know, that's easy to twist your ankle on. Similarly with a number of sidewalk panels down there that are heaved, so they're up several inches. Again, a trip hazard. Some of them are damaged from various activities, need to be repaired. And then we also have some challenges in trying to define access to some of the commercial fishing, namely the stuff by Port Dock 3, the gravel lot down there. That's just an open approach, which causes a lot of confusion as to, you know, where is it acceptable to park on the street or not. So we've got some funds for that. We're going to tackle that. That I think is going to help some conditions, make some people feel better down there. Certainly help with folks that are visiting the bayfront.
Jocelyn, I've been on this. It's like me and Gary, at least.
You guys were here before me, but I came after you, yeah.
Yeah, like we started doing this like 2017. And then it all got suspended with the pandemic. We came back. But a lot of the original driving force for doing this was from the businesses down the bayfront. Mm. Because what they were complaining about was people would come and park, and they'd just park there for 7-8 hours, and we need more throughput. If we got more throughput, we could get more business.
Okay, thank you for clarifying that.
And that was the original impetus for this thing.
Or they'd come with their camper.
Oh,
and they'd stay in their camper all day, but they weren't shopping.
There's another piece to it, too, that's going to start to, you'll start to see some examples. Newport Brewery is probably the first one now to have taken advantage of one of the new rules, which is as part of this demand management program, we made quite a bit more lenient off-street parking requirements when you expand a business. We recognize in the bayfront that businesses, there are areas for businesses to expand, but they can't construct the off-street parking. And our off-street parking requirements were a barrier for these businesses to expand. I mean, we've got entire sections of facing the bay that are basically like docks falling into the bay. Eventually, those sites will redevelop. But the off-street parking requirements, they couldn't really get there. Now, Newport Brewery is going to transition to a food cart. And to do that, that means now they're going to have food trucks taking up what had been their off-street parking, or at least a portion of it.
In front of where they're...
Yeah, Newport Brewery is in the bayfront. Yeah. The bayfront picks up that Canyon Way area,
right.
So they're just inside. And so the new rules allowed them to proceed with this concept. They wouldn't have been able to do it otherwise. And so they just pulled permits, so they're going to be moving forward with that here.
Good. Wonder what happened to them.
Hey, Derek?
Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to make a comment about that, you know, earlier about the signage. One thing I got to say about that Vancouver parking system was their signage was good. Mm-hmm. And they had yellow, white, blue signs with a yellow thing in the front, you know, parking. And they have some kind of catchy parking, I can't remember, you know, logo, name for their system, you know. But the signs were close together. They were up fairly high, and they really caught your eye. And there was a lot of them, okay? I mean, you knew exactly where the paid parking was. There was no doubt about that. And they weren't very far apart, and they were up fairly high. And they were yellow with a blue background. They were very easy to see. So anyway, I wanted to make that comment on that. That their signage was really good. I think the signage was better than ours, to be honest. I hate to say that, but it was. It was really good signage. There was no doubt where the paid parking was, how far, you know, you get where I'm coming here? Yeah.
I've seen some that have been very good. You know, portions of Portland are very good with their signage too, but I've tried to take care to see what that environment looks like, and that tends to be where they're able to bring it down to a more human, down a little bit lower, because they've got the room. They've got a wider sidewalk, or they've got a green space where people aren't walking, where you can get that sign installed in and put the sign a little bit lower where people can see it a little bit more prominently.
Well, they have these on light poles. You know, their light poles are fairly close together for lighting up. There's a park there, and there was other buildings, you know, but they had them on light poles where lighting was. And their light poles were fairly close together.
Yeah.
And every light pole had a sign on it.
Yeah.
Is painting curbs a thing?
We do paint curbs on the bayfront for certain purposes. We've got green is loading. We've got yellow, which is no parking.
Everybody notices that. I just wonder if you can do that for paid parking. Then nobody's going to trip on
it. Well, the challenge is they kind of overlap to a point, too, though.
And then what's the color code?
Right.
That's what someone...
paid parking. Some specific. There's...
I was thinking you could print out.
I think we touched on most of kind of the challenges we had with the transition. Corn, do you have anything else you wanted to add on that one?
No, I think that's the big one is the signage for me.
Well, Corn, you know, one thing you can do too is reach out to us when you see an issue situation down there where you think another sign would be useful. We can coordinate with the streets crew on getting it done. It doesn't happen immediately. Mm. We had a couple, for example, those loading zones that the parking committee had acted on, I want to say at the end of last summer. They went in right before this summer season. Sometimes for our public works crews, it's a weather issue where they prefer to handle it. So it may not happen immediately, but we can get it in the queue.
Yeah, and I think, you know, I'm not saying that everywhere the signage is bad. I mean, there's the majority of the bayfront, no matter where you are, you can see a sign. And so a lot of it could just be people missing the signs, and, you know, it'll only take them one time being down there, you know, and, you know, they get a warning or they get a ticket, and then, you know, now they know. But, yeah, there's just, you know, a few spots.
We also got the entering bay parking signs up for the season. So, mm-hmm. You know, on all of the street approaches going to the bayfront, you've got a prominent sign saying,
we thought it was really going to mess up our parking at the museum, and it hasn't at all, which is interesting.
Oh, you thought people would be using your...
Like the second I went to full-time, yeah. That all of a sudden we get people zipping up there and using that for all-day parking. But because we thought, how are we going to enforce that now?
The next item I had on the agenda, I'm going to switch over to a different item I have here. That one is the survey. You guys all have a chance to take a look at that? These are the survey questions we sent out.
Yep.
John, what's the total response? Do you know or sense at this point?
78.
You got 78 responses, and that's from stakeholders down on the bayfront. Some of those are owners. Some of those are employees. I don't know. Do we get guests or largely just people working down there?
So 100% of people working down there.
That's what I was expecting, yeah. And so we try to focus these basically on the questions we've been talking about right here, trying to get feedback on, you know, hey, what can we do to make this program more effective, better for you down there? And then we also had some questions in the survey that get at what kinds of improvements you feel are most important in terms of how we start to use these funds down there. And so we'll have the survey results for your next meeting, and wait for this one. So you have a chance to see, you know, what kind of feedback we're getting.
There was one question that I would have liked to enable, add on there. It would have been, are you aware that business owners are able to purchase passes for the employees. That would have been a good question to put on the survey, but that's, because that's.
And it's true, we do have, we have business owners that purchase permits for their employees. They have a couple options there. They can purchase permits straight up for an employee, or they can manage what we call a fleet account. And Sherry's helped a number of them, both retail businesses and commercial fishermen get their fleet accounts set up. And the nice thing about the fleet account is if you have employee turnover, you can just reassign the permit to a new employee. Whereas if, you know, you buy it for that particular employee and you leave, the employee takes it. So, and so we have both.
And it's in the neighborhood of about $8 a month, right? Mm-hmm. Per employee? If you work out the cost to the employer, if they purchase a pass for the employee.
Based on what?
On the duration that they would purchase in that area.
I think we have a lot of folks who take advantage of the $100. Yeah, that's, you must be referring basically to like the $100 a year.
Yeah, permit. So you break that down and it's about $8 a month at the most.
So yeah, and that is a popular permit for folks. Some of the Bayfront is the $100 Zone C. Although we do have some folks who pony up $45 a month because they want to park right in that Miami lot or the Big Boulevard lot. Personal choice. Do you have any questions about the survey?
Well, I have a question. Where is this survey available today?
It was sent out to every business on the Bayfront in the direct parking district. And I also walked in the business with paper copies of it. But it is not open publicly, because this is a survey strictly of Bayfront business owners and employees, because the worker experience down there is very different than the visitor experience. So we kind of wanted to separate that out and get that feedback directly from the workers and the business owners down there first.
Thanks.
The one thing that comes to mind though is, John, did we pick up commercial fishing interests, which would be more on the east side?
So this would be mostly, that's also a different experience.
So this will be mostly retail and fish processors.
Yeah. Yep.
But not the commercial fishing fleet that utilizes that far east side down by Port Dock 5.
Yeah, I didn't realize this survey existed.
Okay. No further questions on this topic. We just have the parking enforcement issue. We kept this as a placeholder, Corin. I wasn't sure if you were going to be here or Chief Malloy said at least one of you were going to be here. So we didn't really have anything specific other than I do plan to play your video at the end here. But if you have any parking enforcement issues you want to bring up with the committee, now's the time.
I don't. Everything's been pretty smooth. Once we kind of got past that software issue, everything's been pretty smooth since then.
So, how often do you, because I see you in other places, how often do you go through the Bayfront area?
I try to spend the majority of my day down there. I have a lot of other things that I have to juggle too. I have the time parking in Nye Beach.
Right.
I deal with abandoned vehicles and all that good stuff as well, along with our CSOs. But I'd say I probably walk the full length of the Bayfront at least four times a day.
Okay.
Hey, Corin, where are we at with the, I know we had an issue with the vehicle software picking up the permit data.
Yep.
Is that resolved now?
It's been resolved, yeah.
Awesome. One challenge we had was when we didn't have a parking enforcement officer, the parking enforcement vehicle sat there and wasn't getting its regular updates. And so once Corin was on board, it took a bit to get that vehicle LPR, license plate recognition stuff, working properly. So that's good, because that's the most efficient way to ping a whole lot of vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so I'm gonna go ahead then and bring up the video. I'm not hearing anything. Give me 1 second.
Might have to click on mute if you're in the Dropbox link.
Let's see here if I can bring this back up. Volume looks good. Let's give it a shot. In volume. Mm-hmm. I'm looking at the link, John. I'm not sure why it's not picking up.
You have your email in front of you?
Yeah. I'm playing this right now. See, I can't do it. I can't authorize it on mine, or I'm going to start getting a whole bunch of reverb. I mean, you see it right up there, but not getting any volume off of it. Tried. Do you have any theories on this one, John? The Dropbox?
No theories, but I can, you can either download it quick, just to your computer.
Yeah.
Play it straight out of a media file.
Yeah, that might be the way to do.
No, just when you click in there, click on the actual video. Yeah, there you go. Just click at the bottom one. You don't need to sign anything.
Let's see if this one will work. Yeah, I'm not getting any volume either this way.
Maybe Cora could just add lib as we go along.
Right. You remember them all?
I can play it on my phone while the video's going because I have it on my phone.
Try and type it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there must be something.
It's got to be something in the connection.
In the connection through that's just not allowing it to happen. Anyway, it's a nice video. John pushed it out via social media. So we're trying to get that out to as many folks as possible, just so that they feel more comfortable with the
I like
parking
the,
program.
The reference to a meal.
You want to? That was all John. He made the script on my phone. See if the audio.
Where can we see this?
I'm not sure how well that we. Yeah.
It's on our Instagram and Facebook right now. And I did put a link on Nextdoor, but Nextdoor wouldn't let me post the actual video. It was just too large of a file.
I got it from there, though.
Okay.
Easy.
It's on the city Facebook and Instagram page. Getting a lot of engagement. So.
Is it on the Newport Police page?
Yes.
Oh, okay, good.
I collaborated with them, which is something you do on there. So they shared it on their Facebook and it's also on their Instagram right now.
And now the whole department's, my new nickname's Hollywood.
Is that what it is now?
That's what everyone's been calling me. It's Hollywood.
I'll put the blooper reel together next week. There weren't many. There weren't many. He was good.
We flew through it pretty quick.
Yeah, you hammered it.
Anyway, I think I'll just give up at this point.
Okay, so the next thing is public comment.
Yeah.
Any public comment? Hearing none. We're adjourned then.
Oh,
yep.
Can I just ask a question?
Sure, yeah.
I was reading back some of the past minutes. What is the status of the Nye Beach? Is that put on hold? I was reading some of the stuff in there in your draft. I was just wondering time frame wise.
It was pushed to summer 2026.
Okay.
And we should have a schedule that we can start to work through.
Oh, okay, good.
We just didn't have a chance to connect internally.
That's okay.
To kind of map that out before this one. So you'd have something.
Derek?
Look with.
Great.
Yeah.
Given that City Council has moved that we not do anything until 2026 and City Center's kind of on hold, are we still planning on meeting once a month, or I know there was some talk about backing off some of these meetings.
Let's see how the schedule comes for the Night Beach rollout. It might help inform when we want to meet. I will also be bringing a framework for what the City Center program would look like, although that's down the road. But we have, we've been doing a lot of work with the City Center. Revitalization plan, and we're going to be putting in place a form-based kind of redevelopment code for that area, and that it's going to be looking to really bring in more housing into the City Center area, and that, you know, that's going to require, you know, more parking is going to get utilized as part of that. You're not going to be able to require it all off street.
I mean, you talk City Center, where
101 and 20.
Okay.
But understand, we don't really have the parking issues in these areas that would warrant it now. So what we would be talking about is if we're successful and we start to have congestion issues, which is a good thing, a lot more activity in that area, there will be a framework for how that would work in the City Center area that aligns with some of the other investments that will be made in that area. That's an urban renewal district.
Yeah, because part of the 101 is going to change.
Right,
flow.
We're looking
at
cupletting a portion of 101 for about six blocks, and that's part of it too. So I'll bring components of that for you to take a look at as well. But Dre, that's a good point. There may be sometimes where we don't need to meet monthly, but I'd like to get a better sense of kind of what our city manager's expectations are for additional outreach for Night Beach.
That's the sickest. Sorry to interrupt, but that was one of the biggest complaints. Even though there was monthly meetings, people were saying they didn't know what was going on. They didn't know where to meet. So skipping some before rolling it back out, I think, would be quite negative.
I think we need to be careful.
Yeah.
Because one thing I told, you know, that we had the discussion with council does not want to be having that same conversation as we approach 26. We want to have that all mapped out as best we can. But again, to be clear, what we're looking at right now in Night Beach is like that compared to what the program is on the Bayfront.
Right.
It's a much more modest change.
Yeah. I was reading all the drafts. So.
Right. Great.
We're adjourned.
Thank you.
Yeah. And then there aren't meetings outside of these meetings. This is the whole enchilada.
John, it was in the Zoom. It was in the Zoom. It's in the
Good night.
There was some setting in Zoom share.